4Radio.com. 4Radio.com.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
This is 4Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson.
Good morning. This is your host, Corrine. So happy to be here. Welcome to the show, Healing Through Prayer. Today, I'm going to be talking about the need to simplify, and that out of all the teachings and all the parables that we were given in the Bible, you can actually break Jesus' teachings down to just two very simple commandments. And if we were able to follow and understand and obey these two, it really would unlock the kingdom of heaven within us, and we would awaken to our true nature as the son and daughter of God. With everything that Jesus accomplished here on earth, you know, all his teachings, the healings, this unconditional love he gave to his fellow man, no matter how he was received or treated by them, the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. I mean, when you look at his life as a whole, we owe him so much gratitude. He gave us the way out of suffering, sin, sickness, and even death. And his teachings hold the key for you and me to our freedom, our awakening from the dream or illusion of separation from our Father, Mother, God. At this time of year, you know, it's fun. We decorate trees and we purchase gifts, put up lights around our house, and we celebrate his birth with our family and loved ones. But it's really easy to allow all of this and this time to just slip on by without really paying tribute to him and the love and showing the gratitude that is due him. He came to us for a reason. He wanted so badly to impart a message to all of us because he loves us with the Father's love. He walked our walk. He knows what we fear, the pains, the frustrations, and because he loves us so much, he did all of that, all that he did, knowing that in a very short time, he would be required to leave the presence of those he loved. Imagine for a moment that you know you're going to have to leave your loved ones in a short time, that you only have a short time to tell them what it is that's in your heart. Wouldn't you say the most important and most meaningful things that you had to say? Wouldn't you give them the best you had to impart in those final moments? Well, of course we would. Whatever our greatest treasure is in these final moments, you'd want to give them to your loved ones. You'd talk to them straight from your heart. You might leave them with your greatest possessions, and you would desire to make sure that they know how much you love them. And you'd give them any lessons or information that they could use from your experience that might help them. You tell them not to be afraid, that you'd be all right, and that if there was any way that you could still watch over or help them from where you were going, that you would. Well, wouldn't you? I can imagine what I would tell my daughter if I only had a short time, and those would definitely be it. Well, our brother Jesus Christ did this for us. In a span of just 3 years, he gave us so much. too much to include in this short show, but let's go to what he most wanted to impart to us, the things he would have us know most of all as he left. At Matthew 22:36, we read, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So here he tells us plainly that to love God supremely and then to love our neighbor as ourself is the fulfilling of all the law and wisdom that there is. If we could fulfill these two commandments, we would awaken to our true likeness as the child of God that we already are. Jesus' remaining instructions and parables were all explanations of how to love one another and an explanation and example of our ever-present oneness with God. We've spent quite a bit of time now discussing the truth that we are created in God's image and likeness. So like the image in the mirror, we are his exact reflection, but we are not God. Like the sun and its rays, God is the sun, we are its rays. He is our source. Our substance is that of God, and we reflect him perfectly, yet we are not the sun itself. God moves through us. His power is our power. His strength is our strength. His love is our love. His mind or intelligence is our intelligence. His beauty is our beauty. All the good that is and that we experience is God. And at times we see this or feel this, but we have for the most part fallen asleep to these great facts of being. We've been lulled into a mesmeric state of belief that we're separated from God, that we're subject to the world and its so-called laws of sin, sickness, sin, and death. We are taught and believe that if we're good enough, we might get back to God one day. But until then, we are hopeless sinners walking around in the dark, and that is simply our lot in life. Well, the way out of an illusion or dream is to wake up. We are to wake up to our birthright and inheritance as the children of God now, not at some distant time or circumstance, not after we lay the body down, but now, right here, right now, in this place. It's our privilege and duty to wake up to who and what we are right now and then help those around us to do the same. Jesus never saw a sick or sinful person. All he saw when he looked upon his brothers and sisters was the perfect, innocent, guiltless, beautiful, holy child of God. And this ability to see through the illusion right to where the perfect Son of God stood dispelled the illusion and woke the person up. In this huge aha moment, the belief of sickness, suffering, lack, death fell away. Darkness cannot stand before the light. Error flees before the truth. Jesus was the light, not just for himself, however. It was his mission and greatest desire that we should see and know this light for ourselves. You see, we are to see and claim this atonement, our at-one-ment with God now. It's already a present fact. You don't have to wait for a future time, and you don't have to read certain materials or pass a class or be promoted at church or at work. You already are that which you seek. All we need to do is awaken to this present truth. So how do we do this? Jesus gave us the shortest and most direct path: to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to love one another as ourselves. So let's look at this in more detail so that we can claim this truth for ourselves and take a shortcut back to the realization of the fact that we are all powerful. We are all knowing, all loving children of God. Love God with all your heart. What does this mean? Mary Baker Eddy asks in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, "Dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind?" This command includes much, even the surrender of all merely material sensation, affection, and worship. This is the El Dorado of Christianity. To surrender all material sensation, meaning turning away from what our five physical senses report to us, because they cannot report what Spirit teaches, and only what Spirit teaches us is true. To surrender all material affection, meaning recognizing that the love we have with those around us must not have priority over our love for God, and to understand that the love we have here on earth is imperfect, but the love we share with the Father is perfect love. And as we love God and He loves us, all our earthly longings are satisfied. And then the love we feel for others here is perfected, and we can share this perfect love instead of egoic love that runs hot and cold with one another. To surrender material worship, this requires us to identify whatever it is that we worship in place of God, where we place our attention, desire, and effort. Is it a relationship? Is it your job? Your children? Money? Material wealth? To love God with all your heart requires you to surrender this idol, to make your whole desire and affection on Him. Now, is the ego in you resisting? Take comfort that you know when the ego begins to resist that you are on the right track. See how it tells you that you will suffer, life's going to suck or be boring if you love God with all your heart? That surrendering all material sensation, affection, worship means life is going to be boring, or perhaps it's too hard, or you can just put this off to some other day. Well, good news, listeners, that serpent thought is a liar, and behind its lies is the truth that it desperately does not want you to see. Let's go back a second. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. Your Father in heaven knoweth the things that ye have need of before ye ask. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hello, here's the answer to experiencing the kingdom of heaven. Seek God first. Love Him supremely over all else. Give this world and its false claims, give up this world and its false claims of what reality is, or who you are. Keep your focus on Him, and all these things will be added unto you. God knows the desires of your heart. If you silently seek Him and pray to know more about Him, and then consequently yourself, your life will change in the most amazing and blessed ways. Matthew 6:6 promises, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." He shall reward thee. God, who knows all your deepest desires, who knows you better than you know yourself, who can bless you and create through you things you couldn't even imagine, will reward thee as you seek Him first. It is only when we take the reins back and argue that we know better than Him, or that we could do better, or perhaps God just doesn't have the time for us, that we create these half-assed lives, lives that just get us by, where we hang on day after day, doing okay, but not great. John 10:10 assures us that the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. That's what Jesus came to prove to us is our birthright. It's ours for the experiencing right now. Only your devotion determines whether you will experience what is already yours here and now, or whether you continue bumping your head as you walk around in the dark. You lose nothing by turning away from the false and temporary, and you gain all the kingdom of heaven when you accept and understand that only God is love, and that anything that is not love is not from God and is therefore unreal. Truth is only communicated by Spirit or the Holy Ghost, so what the physical senses report are not the truth. Turn away from material sensation and invite the Holy Spirit to commune with you, to bring back to your remembrance all truth. You know it will at your slightest heartfelt invitation. So there's step one, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It sounds like a lot, but truly it isn't. You have the authority and power to turn away from the world and focus on God, trusting Him as He guides your life and creates something incredible in and through you so that you can live your purpose and bless the lives of others around you. Once you start down this road, if you haven't already, you'll find that your life is blessed. It becomes more fun, joyful, your humble prayers are answered, and you'll find that you don't want to go back to the old way of viewing the world and seeing things. Truth and love are so powerful and so wonderful, and you'll find that living from this standpoint is home. And if you're tempted to wander away from home, you'll feel the effects more quickly, and you'll want to return to this alignment or at-one-ment with God. And you discover that you really don't lose anything at all. You gain what is good and real. And what is false and not of God naturally drops away from your experience. That loss of what isn't is actually gain. Okay, so let's look at the second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. When asked who our neighbor was, Jesus gave the parable of the Good Samaritan. A certain man was robbed and beaten half to death and left by the roadside to die. A priest and then later a Levite passed by and they didn't do anything to help. And then a Samaritan saw the man and had compassion, bound up his wounds, took him to an inn, and paid to have the man cared for. And Jesus instructed those around him that the one who was the neighbor was the man who showed mercy upon him. We are taught that positions in church or society don't divide us, that our lot in life, where we live and what we do does not define us or separate us from one another. We must have mercy and compassion upon one another. And on the surface, you might think that this is because it's a loving thing to do. Yes, it feels good to be kind to another person. But I'm going to call on you this morning to go deeper with me today. There's a deeper meaning here, and once you understand it, you will find it impossible to mistreat or not have compassion on another. Jesus is asking us to take this second commandment literally. Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember, Jesus said, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. We have in reality one father, the creator of us all. We all came from the same source. We're not separate. Again, we're not separate from the source. Think of the sun and the rays. The sun is God. Each ray is an individual and distinct expression from that sun, but yet still part of the sun. And collectively, all the rays represent the body of Christ. We are all unique, individuated expressions of the one whole. My love is your love. Your intelligence is my intelligence. Our life source is all the same. We live and move and have our being in Him. My favorite quote from Mary Baker Eddy is, as a drop of water is one with the ocean, a ray of light one with the sun, even so, God and man, Father and Son, are one in being. We are, in reality, one creation, just one, But this doesn't erase your individuality. Like a number in the law of mathematics, your role and purpose is unique and distinct and necessary to the whole law. If you were to drop away, the entire law would fall. But without the law of mathematics, what would a number be? How would it have meaning? You see, we need God, and God needs us in order for creation to be. And we depend on one another, as we are one family, one in being, one divine, perfect creation. You see, one Father, one Son, but this Son consists of individual expressions. So what does any of this have to do with loving our neighbor as ourselves? Well, your neighbor is yourself. It's true. If we are all connected to the same source, what is true for your brother is true for you. What you see in him or her must also be true for you. The judgments you pass upon your brothers and sisters must be in you also. Think of it this way. Imagine that the sun ray right next to you gets poisoned somehow, starts losing its light, and the darkness within it starts seeping back into the sun or the hole. And since you're plugged into the source and you're existing right next to this ray, then you too will be poisoned. What is possible for the guy next to you is now possible for you, because you two are connected at the core of your being. So any poisonous, judgmental, or untrue thoughts you have about another, you are doing likewise to yourself. At John 17, verse 20, Jesus is praying to the Father before he leaves his disciples, and he's asking the Father to protect them in his absence, and it reads, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity." There is no separation from God, and there is also no separation from his creation. It is all one. We are all one. Jesus in us, God in Jesus, God in us. This understanding brings complete unity. And in this unity is the fulfilling of the commandment to love one another. Mrs. Eddy writes, "It should be thoroughly understood that all men have one mind, one God and Father, one life, truth, and love. Mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. War will cease, and the true brotherhood of man will be established, having no other gods, turning to no other but the one perfect mind to guide him. Man is the likeness of God, pure and eternal, having that mind which was also in Christ." When you look into the eyes of anybody and you understand that you and that person are not actually separate, you can't look upon them with hatred or wish them ill will. When you understand that what you're doing or seeing, you're doing to yourself. Where anything but love presents itself in your thought, it's actually a blessing, because it's an invitation for you to see things differently in the light of truth. Those that we would distance ourselves from or be tempted to see as less than ourselves are our angels, offering us the opportunity to heal and experience a shift in our perception back to the truth. There's a reason why Jesus first commanded us to love God. As we love God, we learn more about him and consequently ourselves, because the Bible teaches us that we were made in his likeness. So once we begin to do that, to really connect and remember what we are, the embodiment of life, truth, and love, we then are asked to take on step number 2, which is to extend the self-knowledge to to our brothers and sisters and see that it is true for them also. And the serpent or mortal mind or ego, whatever you want to call it, and it is only, the serpent is only really nothing trying to be something in your consciousness. It does not want you to do this. It lives and thrives on making sure that you see, one, that you're separate from God, and two, that you're separate from your brothers and sisters. It cannot survive if you see others as one with yourself, because it knows you cannot hate or show unkindness to others when you fully comprehend that you and he or she are one, that what you do to them or think about them, you are doing to yourself also. It's impossible for you to stay unaffected by unkind words or thoughts. As you believe, you experience. And when you no longer wish to experience hatred in any form, you will stop seeing it in your fellow man, the sonship of God. Is the serpent rattling around again, telling you that, well, that's fine and good for some people in your life, but you are certainly not going to see so-and-so, you fill in the blank, as a child of God, not after what they did to me? Again, that is a so-called talking serpent defending against something it does not wish you to see. On the other side of the serpent's defenses is always the truth. In the forgiveness of what so-and-so did to you, in seeing him or her as a child of God, in claiming the oneness you have with them, lies your freedom also. This freedom includes seeing reality, the fact that nothing harmful has or ever could touch the real you, the fact that a, quote, bad man does not exist in God's infinitely good creation, and the remembrance of the so-called transgression melts away from your thoughts and your experience, just like the mist before the sunlight. It is completely wiped away. So I ask you, would you rather sit in judgment of your neighbor, harboring resentment, mulling over what happened to you, allowing it to infect you and your life? Or would you rather wake to the truth, see all false claims as nothing, claim your rightful place and inheritance for you as well as your fellow man, and experience the kingdom of heaven right here and right now? Christmas is coming. We are celebrating the birth of the Christ soon. This Christ lives in all of us. Let us start today to prepare for this birth, to make room in our hearts. By loving our God supremely in our minds and hearts, and then extending this love to others and into the world. How can you best extend your light and love today? What can you do for others to bless your neighbor? As we are determined to love God and to love neighbors because we are one, the illusion and dream of life separate from our Creator falls away. A new heaven and new earth are experienced right here and now. This is the gift that Jesus Christ came to give us, and it is the greatest gift we can give one another. It is all I want for Christmas. How about you? Much love to you, listeners. Thank you so much. God bless.
ForRadio.com.
Have you been the victim of a crime? Did you know you have rights as a crime victim? Where do you turn for support, resources, and empowerment? Victimization does not have to define you as a survivor. Crime Survivor's mission is to provide hope and healing to victims and survivors of crime through advocacy and the support of resources, information, and empowerment from the critical time after a crime occurs through the challenges and successes of surviving and thriving. We at CSI believe that no one should feel abandoned or alone, and that every person is deserving of love, respect, and dignity. We believe that the best way to help others with hope and healing is to work in partnership with our community, law enforcement, elected leaders, and members of the media. We believe that all of us together can lift each other out of the darkness and into the light of a restored heart and life. We believe that every broken heart, every hurt, every wound can be healed with love and a strong community of support. We believe in hopeful healing. We believe that with faith, there is always hope. Crime Survivors is there to help. We provide hopeful healing for survivors. If you would like to support this nonprofit organization or are in need of help, please contact Crime Survivors at 949-872-7895 or crimesurvivors@aol.com or log on to www.crimesurvivors.org.
ForRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal's Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org. Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Coffee Talk with Patricia.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Coffee Talk with Patricia. It's your host, Patricia Winskunas, with you this morning. And I hope you made yourself a nice cup of hot coffee. As you all know, I love to start my morning with reflection, with prayer, and with a cup of hot coffee. It's something about the morning, the hotness, the aroma, the inspiration and the empowerment that strengthens and guides me through my day. And as you all know, I love my favorite coffee is Living Java because it does have chocolate beans in there and it does have a lot of vitamins and nutrients also in the coffee. So go to livingjava.com and you can order your own and share a cup of hot coffee with me in the morning, afternoon, and even in the evening. I could have a cup of coffee and go straight to bed, so I don't know what that says, but I did hear yesterday on the TV that they were talking about how you should always follow a cup of coffee with a glass of water because the coffee dehydrates you. But now they're finding in time that that's not accurate because coffee is made of 90% water, and so that it's not necessary to follow with a cup of water. So I will enjoy my coffee, but I'm also going to try to start drinking more of water because I do think that it does strengthen us and it's good for our health and our well-being as well. But with that said, today I'm really thinking about prayer and strength and guidance because I think that during difficult times, during amazing times in life, I think we walk with God, we have to walk with our faith, and we have to trust that. And I think that God is here for us to give us strength and to lift our hearts, even in the times when we feel hopeless, even in the times where we don't want to get out of bed or we don't know how we will endure some of the trauma or tragedies or health or anything else that we go through in our life. And as you know, me personally, I believe in never quitting and never giving up. No matter what you endure in your life, divorce, health concerns, traumas and tragedies, as I said, I think that we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in our faith, because no matter what, he will strengthen us. He does love us. And things do happen for a reason. And some of the worst things, they do happen for a reason, and I think good can come from it. So I think that we do everything through Christ, who gives us strength. I know that he gives me strength each and every day. So give me strength, Lord. Lord, you are holy above all others, and all of the strength that I need in your hands. I'm not asking, Lord, that you take this trial away from me, that you take any trials away from me. Instead, I simply ask that you, your will be done in my life. Whatever that means, that is what I want. But I admit that it's hard, Lord. At times, it is challenging. It is difficult to get through the day, to get through the moment, to get through the minutes, to get through the seconds. But with your strength, Lord, I know you will guide me. I know you will strengthen me. Sometimes I feel like I can't go on. There are many others out there in pain and living in fear, as I have in my own life. But I ask that you strengthen us, Lord. I ask that you be with us. I ask that you watch over myself, my family, my friends, my enemies, that you guide them, that you protect them each and every day, that so we don't have the worry of today or tomorrow, that we live a future in each of our hearts and in our souls. With you, Lord, I know that we can get through it. I know that we can be strengthened and guided by your love, your acceptance. Please keep us from sinning during our trials. I know it's easy, Lord, for us to go the opposite way, the road of difficult times and the road of challenges. Sometimes it's easy for us to get lost in that path and to be able to take the easy road. But with your strength and your guidance, Lord, I know we can take the difficult, hard road, because we will come out ahead with your strength and your guidance. So I ask you, Lord, to please hear our morning prayer this morning, to please guide us and strengthen us through this weekend and through this year of 2014. And in your name, amen. And thank you. I love to start with a morning prayer, and I think that it's always good to strengthen all of you that are listening out there, and hopefully that you are also walking with us in your faith. Whatever your faith is, please be strengthened by it. Please trust it, and please know that the Lord is here for you. And we do have a special guest today, Brad Olson. He is a food truck ambassador. And so I'm going to bring him on, and hopefully he will go ahead and share a little bit about himself and who he is, how we know one another, and then we'll talk about the food truck industry and what that word ambassador does mean. Are you with us today, Brad?
Hey, Patricia. How you doing?
I'm pretty good, thanks. Thanks for taking the time to be on Coffee Talk with Patricia.
Oh, I'm happy to be on here, and I love that prayer. I was praying with you, and I just I felt the Lord, the presence of the Lord, you know, where I'm at and stuff, and that prayer was awesome, and it is for me personally, it was so good, because I'm going through, you know, things and stuff like that. But you know what, I've come to learn through my tests and trials that they're all good for me, and it brings me closer to God. And you know, I want His will to be done, just like you were praying. You know, I don't understand His will. But you know what? We don't need to understand His will. We just need to trust Him and believe that He's got, you know, us in His hands and our future and our destiny. So I appreciate that prayer very much.
Thank you. And amen to that, because, you know, on Coffee Talk with Patricia, we've had many, many men and special guests on our show, as women as well. But, you know, it always strengthens and empowers me to be able to walk with a man that and a friend, and that someone that cares about sharing the Lord and is not afraid to speak about their faith. And we'll talk a little bit later about faith and what it represents and what it means to you. But why don't you tell our listeners today a little bit about, you know, who Brad is? You know, what is it that you really, you know, represent in your life? And how do you, you know me? And how did you get on to Coffee Talk with Patricia?
Well, hopefully I'm a good vessel and a vessel for the Lord. That's the main thing, you know, that He uses me and flows through me, and, you know, and I show people who Jesus is, you know, through my life. That's the main thing. You know, the food truck industry is something that's taken off in the last few years, and about 3.5 years ago, you know, I wasn't even praying about it. I wasn't even wishing it upon me. I wasn't even asking for it. But the Lord just brought an opportunity for me to start another business. Actually, I already have another business, a graphics business. But this has dropped in my lap. And, you know, it's one of those things that God just honors you, you know, when you pray, when you fast. You know, when you pay your tithes, when you're obedient to the Lord, you know, He wants to bless you and pour His favor on you. And, you know, and I'm nobody special, but, you know, I know my relationship with God.
Wait, let me interrupt you because you are special. We you know, it's interesting to hear people say that because I have so many people around me that will always say that and never give themselves credit. But truly, I think the Lord does want us to really, in our hearts, not dismiss ourselves. And so I think many of us, and I am so guilty of it, of getting into that habit of I'm nobody, I'm not this, I'm not that. But you are somebody, and you are loved by the Lord, and you are validated by the Lord. And so hopefully I can get you today to stop doing that and to just say, yes, you are somebody because you are the Lord's son. So.
Right. No, I understand. I say that, and I say that in a way where I try to stay humble, you know, and not pride myself and give God all the glory so that, you know, when I say something like that, it's just I'm trying to be as humble as I possibly can be, you know. So, you know, like I said, the Lord gets all the glory and all the honor from it. But anyways, going back to the food truck, you know, I just, it just dropped in my lap and I just started doing events, you know, and, you know, my first event was, Long Beach Marathon, and I was given, 3 days to get trucks. I didn't even have one truck. I didn't know anybody in the industry. So I just started searching on the internet and started, you know, kind of starting that way. And the Lord led me to, you know, several, you know, gourmet food trucks. And I talked to them and then they, you know, they signed on to attend the event. And you know, that was my first event was the Long Beach Marathon, you know, 3.5 years ago. And I thought, wow, this is, you know, this is kind of cool and it's fun. And, you know, it's kind of like my bag because I like to talk to people and, you know, and stuff like that. So just being around, I think it was for like 40,000 people was, you know, pretty overwhelming, but it was just so much fun. I thought to myself, well, gosh, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, this is something that you want me to do. So I've just been running with it for the last 3.5 years. And what we do, or basically what I do is I connect events with the food trucks. So pretty much, you know, a middle person, but we do more than just being not a broker, but we advertise, we promote, you know, we use all the social media to let everybody know this event's taking place. You know, these trucks are going to be there. You know, we use all the Twitter and, you know, all the social media we can. You know, a lot of the organizers will have flyers, so they'll get sent us a flyer and then we'll promote it with the flyer. We do everything we can to promote the events and promote the trucks and let everybody know where the trucks are going to be and, you know, what kind of food there is. And, you know, a lot of times we'll get the menus from the trucks, and we advertise the menu so people can see things like that too. But we call ourselves the Food Truck Imagine because, you know what, you know, if you look at a lot of business cards, they'll say, you know, owner or manager or this and that. And I prayed about it, and the Lord just came up with this name of Food Truck Ambassador. And what it is I am an ambassador to the food truck industry. You know, I'm a voice. I'm out there between the you know, organizers in the trucks. The organizers don't have a lot of time to find trucks, or they don't know how to get a hold of them. So once they get a hold of me, then I do the rest for them. So I'm basically the voice for the trucks, the voice for the events. And so I called myself the Food Truck Ambassador. And, you know, and that's kind of like where that started. And basically a lot of the food trucks have caught on with that, and they call me the Food Truck Ambassador, and they smile. They, you know, they laugh about it, and they go, man, that's a really cool name. And even event organizers, when I give them a car, they Food Truck Ambassador, oh, man, that's so cool. And so,
and I think that's,
you know, that's
great. And I think that's great because it's nice because Maria, which is our kind of, I call her, she's our ambassador as well. And she's kind of our producer and she kind of runs the shows, many radio shows, but for Coffee Talk with Patricia as well. And she is also an ambassador. So I definitely know what that's like. And, you know, it's interesting to see that it's working so well for you in the food truck industry. And, you know, I think that that's amazing and a special calling and a special gift because I'm sure, you know, not everybody can coordinate and get all of that stuff to work together properly. So good for you for being able to do that.
Yeah, and I, you know, and you know, it's not a perfect road like, you know, any other business. And you know what's so amazing, Patricia, is we're in a time in this country, this world, well, where things are just happening so fast, you know. And I don't want to get into, you know, I'm not in the politics and all that kind of stuff and this and that, but you know what, it is hard to even get a job, keep a job, you know, or whatever, and especially being self-employed.
And, yeah, it's and, very and, you know, challenging.
When you've got nobody doing the work for you, and you're doing everything. You know, like me, I'm doing all the promotions. I'm doing everything pretty much. So it all falls back on me. So I'm having to do everything. But I find myself on my face and praying and saying, God, you know, show me the way. Show me how to do this. You know, God, to me, God is my manager. God is my salesperson. You know, God is everything that maybe, you know, if I had in the flesh, you know, I had somebody doing all that stuff and had to pay them. But God is doing all that for me. I don't have to pay him anything. All I got to do is humble myself and pray. And God leads me. God shows me what events to do, you know, what trucks would be good, you know. And there are challenges, though. You know, it's not all roses. There are challenges in this industry. You know, I am depending on trucks saying that they're going to show up, and they show up. And what happens a lot of times, trucks break down. You know,
that's a very interesting thing that you say that, because, you know, I also have my catering event planning business, and for years,
mm-hmm.
I always depended upon people because I'm planning everything. I'm planning for the florist, the valet, the food, the decorations, and I'm depending on the band or the DJ or, you know, the desserts or all these other
yes.
things. And if one of them falls, it's kind of like I always refer to it as it having like one friend of mine or person that I used to work with too, it always described it as kind of being like a chain link. And you have this chain, and if you have all of these links and they all have to work together in order for the event to go off or in order for the, you know, these food trucks to work, and if one of them is missing, everything kind of falls, but it doesn't fall on each individual. It's kind of as you're the leader in a sense. And
right.
sometimes the leader always takes the credit. But recently I know another circumstance, and I don't want to get into politics, but, you know, a leader sometimes depends so much on the people underneath them that they sometimes just let things go without knowing it. And then the leader also is the one that always takes the fall.
And that's exactly right, because if my trucks don't show up, the people that I'm working with, the customer, first thing they do is, where's the trucks? And if
yeah.
they're late, where's the trucks? And what do you mean it broke down? Oh, what are we going to do? And, you know, things like that and stuff. And there's really nothing you can do at the last minute. You can't just pull a truck out of your back pocket and say, here it is. So,
you can say, I'll run down to Albertsons and I'll get you some, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers or something.
Yeah. Yeah, when they're expecting gourmet food and stuff, you know.
Right.
But yeah, those things happen in this industry. It's an event in industry, and you know, like you said, it's like a chain. You know, everything's linked up. If you don't have your DJ, don't show up, then you have no music. Then you don't have that kind of atmosphere, you know, going with the music and all that stuff. Which, you know, you need that kind of stuff. And if you don't have tables and chairs, no one to sit around, that's going to affect you as well and stuff. So yeah, it's all linked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely see that. And I definitely see it not only in my catering business, but I also see it in the industry of the in an industry, basically in the nonprofit arena, because, you know, I even have people, and I'm sure they'll probably you'll be told this quite often, too, is you almost become a perfectionist. And so sometimes, even though you have to depend on everybody else,
right.
I know, like, even in the nonprofit arena, putting on events, people will say, well, you're too much of a perfectionist, or you have to start depending on other people. But I've known, not only in my catering business, but also in the nonprofit arena, I mean, I'm surrounded with some amazing people, but I've also been surrounded by some people that have said they're going to do this and do that and do that, and then never follow through. And then 2 days before the event or the day of the event, it's not done. So you become a perfectionist in the sense like, well, I'll just do it rather than volunteers or rather than depending on other people, because at least I know if I'm going to do it, it gets done.
Exactly, and I've always said to myself and other people, if I can just clone myself a few times and have a few Brads running around here, I get a lot more done, you know. And I've wished that for years and stuff, but it's not something I pray about. But it
right.
sounds pretty good to me if I can have a few of me running around and helping me out. But
well,
yeah,
good for you. I mean, that's pretty great and confident on you, because I always keep thinking to myself, thank God they broke the mold with me, because we would not want more than one Patricia running around. That's for sure.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what though? More Patricias means a lot more chocolate.
That's right. And we do love chocolate. Although, except for, I was just telling someone, as much as I love it, and then, you know, I get people's comments about how much chocolate I should be eating or shouldn't be eating, but recently over the holidays, and I think all of us probably, we tend to get into that holiday thing and where we're eating and we're, you know, not paying attention, or we're in our comfortable clothes, and then all of a sudden January hits and you go to put on your dress suits or your
yeah.
pants, and you're like, oh my God, I can't button them. And it's funny because I just did talk. It usually it's women that we always talk about that, but recently I just talked about to a couple of my male friends, and they were like, "My pants are too tight."
Yeah, yeah, no, I totally understand. You know, it's really funny. Is this year? I don't know what it was though, Patricia. You know, we ate food and all that stuff, but the food just never really seemed to have that kind of a taste appeal to me or something like that. It's really weird. You know, the other holidays and stuff, you know, I'd pig out, but this year, maybe it was God, maybe he was doing something with my tongue palate or something like that. But I'll tell you, I didn't seem to go overboard this time. You know, I don't have that, you know, I don't have the problem as bad as I thought I would, you know, with the pants fitting and this and that and kind of stuff. I think I kind of stayed where I was, though I do probably
good.
Need to, you know, get a little bit, you know, looser and work it out a little bit more and stuff like that. But hey, it's the first year. I don't believe in resolutions and stuff like that, you know, but, got to take care of this vessel, right?
Well, that's true. And I think that is a huge thing, too, with the Lord is, you know, we talk about it, but, you know, our actions and our behaviors, you know, I always say that our actions speak louder than our words. And, you know, I praise
yeah.
the Lord and I reflect and I pray and he's in my heart and soul each and every day to guide me and protect and strengthen me. But I do fail in the sense of sometimes being able to, yeah, what I put in my mouth and what I drink and what I eat and certain other things, you know, I have to reflect on that a little bit more, and I have to be more observant about it in this new year, 2014, and not so much to say I want to lose weight or I want to, you know, exercise or I want to do all of that. I do want to be able to reflect and say kind of what you just said. I need to take care of my body because it is the Lord's, and it is part of that whole thing
right.
about, you know, fasting and what do you eat and what do you drink. So is that really challenging for you when you're doing all the food trucks and so forth to be around all that food, or not as hard?
Yeah, it was kind of like at first and stuff like that, but as time's gone on, everything else, you know, it's kind of like I've had a little bit of this, I already had a little bit of that. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I before I go to the events, I really try to eat something before, if I have the chance. And if not, then, you know, depending on what trucks I've got and what they got, I kind of try to watch it, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, people say, yeah, be careful, man, you're gonna gain a lot of weight off those trucks. And I was like, nah, it's, you know, I watch what I try to eat over there, small stuff or whatever. I kind of stay away from as much of the, you know, the grease or, you know, the breads or just whatever and stuff. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's one truck has an awesome teriyaki chicken bowl, you know, kind of like a flame broiler type thing, but it's so good and stuff. So, and I love chicken teriyaki, so I'll kind of, you know, do something like that on a bed of white rice or whatever. But
nice, good.
Stay away from
so
the burgers.
So for our
and,
listeners,
yeah.
so for our listeners that are listening, Brad, why don't you tell them? Do you have a website that if they are interested in maybe having you to come to their events, or like what area are you located? Do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook page? Do you want to share with our listeners?
Sure. The Facebook page, the name of the company is Super Gourmet Food Truck Jam. I know it's long, but, you know, it's when you say it a few times, it'll really catch on. But if you go to Facebook and just type in Super Gourmet Food Truck Jam, J-A-M, you'll come to the Facebook page. And then the same thing with the website. It's Super Gourmet Food Truck Jam, and then it's .weebly, which is weebly.com, and that's the website. So you can go on there, and there's a place on there if you have an event or whatever, you know, for contact. You can fill out the form, and it comes to us via email and stuff like that. So it's an easy way to get on there. Or you can go to the Facebook page and you can just, you know, type it into, and also, you know, do a message to us or something like that. But
good.
Those are, you know, pretty much the way to do it.
Thanks. And then what we'll do is we'll also go ahead and post it on Coffee Talk with Patricia. If you're all listening out there, we'll post it on our Facebook page. And, you know, if you are planning an upcoming event of any type, or you are in need of a food truck, then you can go ahead and contact Brad directly, and he will go ahead and take good care of you. So that's great.
That's for sure.
So, Brad, yeah, let me ask you just a couple other questions, too. And, you know,
okay.
are you married? Do you have kids? Tell me a little bit about who Brad is.
Okay. Well, yes, I am married. I've been married to my wife is Karen, and we got married in 1999. So,
oh, congratulations.
Anyways, thank you. And I've got I have four children, three boys and one girl. My youngest son is still in high school. You know, we're located in Anaheim. He goes to a high school called Valencia High School in Placentia. He's a senior. And so he's an awesome kid. He's, you know, he plays lacrosse and soccer. He's really athletic. My daughter lives in Fort Worth, Texas. She's married to a Marine. You know, yay for the Marines.
Yay.
And
hoorah.
She had a, yeah, exactly. And she had my granddaughter. Her name is Callie. And about a year ago, so she's a little over a year old now. I think her birthday was November. And so, and then I have another son who lives in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He owns his own landscaping business. Him and I are really a lot alike. He's an entrepreneur. He's a go-getter. You know, he just loves the landscaping business, and he's really good at it. And he does these, you know, these really expensive homes back there, keeps the lawns up and stuff like that. It's really awesome to see what he does. And then my oldest son is in the Air Force. He's stationed over in Kuwait right now. He's been in the Air Force. Yeah, he's been in the Air Force about 13 years. And I'm really proud of him for serving our country. He's been to Germany, Korea, Iraq, I think it's three times. He's in Kuwait. It's a real sacrifice for the family. You know, we haven't seen him, you know, face-to-face other than Facebook for about 8 years now, I guess. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, that's very challenging.
Yeah, so he's growing up on Facebook when we do see him, but we just know he's in Kuwait. He's kind of high security and, you know, and things like that. And he didn't even tell us where he's going to be. I found that actually out from his mom that lives in Tennessee, and she kind of told me, you know, because he originally was supposed to, I guess, go to Afghanistan or something like that, and she prayed that he wouldn't go, and then the Lord sent him to Kuwait, which is a lot safer.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I'm really proud of my son for, you know, being in the service for 13 years. I was in the Army for almost four. My dad was a Marine. You know, my, like I said, my daughter's married to a Marine, so pretty much our whole family, one time or another, has served this country proudly.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. That's remarkable. That is definitely amazing. And you obviously started with you, and obviously you've passed it on to your children too. So that's definitely an amazing thing.
Amen. Yeah. So that's kind of it. So yeah. So I said we're married. You wanted to tell your listeners how you and I met. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't mind sharing it, I mean, you don't have to. It's up to you, whatever you're comfortable with sharing.
Oh, sure. It's fine. Patricia and I met it was probably, what, over a year ago, maybe somewhere like that. But what had happened is through a tragic situation in my family, my brother-in-law losing his life.
Murdered. He was murdered.
Okay. So he was murdered by an estranged, crazy person. And that was just a couple years ago, around Christmas time. And so through this situation and what we've gone through, and Patricia and crime survivors, through my mother-in-law, which is Marie Nadal, through all that, we come to know who Patricia is. And actually, I met you through my mother-in-law on Facebook and started talking to you on Facebook and sharing things back and forth. And we met, you know, face to face and stuff, and we talked, and we basically had just been, you know, talking, you know, constantly on Facebook and just sharing things and stuff like that. And, you know, your events, my events, and, you know, up in pretty much until this point. But, you know, God has a way of doing things, you know, and stuff, and taking tragedy and turning it into something good. And I think knowing you and, you know, and God introducing me to you and vice versa and stuff, I think it's just something that, you know, it's the will of God. And, I mean, what a better thing to do than, you know, to know another believer and talk about the Lord.
And, you know, I mean, I thank you for sharing that. And, you know, it's unfortunate because there's so many tragedies and traumas that do occur, but there's so many new relationships and introductions that have come with it. And, you know, how is your family doing? You know, how are you guys surviving through this, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, the family, you know, Patricia, to tell you the truth, if it wasn't for God, I don't know where we'd be right now. I don't know what we'd be doing. But God has, you know, he has just done a work in our family, brought us closer and, you know, closer to God, and we have peace about everything. And, you know, the other tragic thing that happened a couple months ago was the person that had murdered him and the other gentleman, you know, committed suicide, you know. And so, you know, we didn't care, you know, that the DA was going to go for the death penalty, but we didn't care because we would never see the guy anyway as long as he was locked up. It didn't really matter to us, you know. It was God's will in the first place, you know, and they were going for the death penalty and stuff. And of course, you know, if you look at it, the death penalty was given because he ended up, you know, committing suicide, you know, on his own doings, nothing to do with us. So it's kind of like, all right, well, we got the death penalty, even though we didn't want it. We got it a different way. But what we like about the whole deal is we don't have to go to court now and be in front of all this stuff and see pictures that we didn't want to see. And all this other stuff they would have brought up in court that would have traumatized us, would have ripped the sore, you know, the scabs off of the things that are being healed right now, and we would live this whole nightmare all over again.
Right.
And I'm glad we don't have to do that, because I'll tell you, when I went to court the first time and saw this guy in the cage that they put him in, there was such an evilness that came off of that guy. It was unbelievable. And I am spirit filled, you know. My faith, my denomination is Pentecostal, you know, and we believe in the gifts of tongues, we believe in the gifts of healing, we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, we believe in this and stuff. And let me tell you, I am sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and I'm also sensitive to the spirits that are against us. And I'll tell you, when that guy walked in, it just hit me, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know. And my mother-in-law was sitting there, and after we had seen this guy for the first time that murdered my brother-in-law, to see him, not on TV, but see him in person, was just really overwhelming and so surreal and unbelievable.
And I definitely get that and feel that. And, you know, I think I would like to continue this conversation and talking a little bit, because I've done several shows about mental illness, talking about mm-hmm. murder, talking about crime, and talking about the difference between mental illness, evil, and even talking about suicide and many different things. And I know it, and I understand it myself personally with family and different circumstances that I've experienced in my life. So we're going to go ahead and take a short break. And then when we come back from our break, if you're okay with continuing talking about a little bit about the victimization and murder and even to touch base a little bit about suicide or mental illness. And then we'll go ahead and we'll talk about faith, and we'll talk about career and community and some other things as well. So if you just hold the line, and all to our listeners, we will be back shortly.
Okay.
ForRadio.com.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at HigherAscent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Have you been the victim of a crime? Did you know you have rights as a crime victim? Where do you turn for support, resources, and empowerment? Victimization does not have to define you as a survivor. Crime Survivor's mission is to provide hope and healing to victims and survivors of crime through advocacy and the support of resources, information, and empowerment from the critical time after a crime occurs through the challenges and successes of surviving and thriving. We at CSI believe that no one should feel abandoned or alone, and that every person is deserving of love, respect, and dignity. We believe that the best way to help others with hope and healing is to work in partnership with our community, law enforcement, elected leaders, and members of the media. We believe that all of us together can lift each other out of the darkness and into the light of a restored heart and life. We believe that every broken heart, every hurt, every wound can be healed with love and a strong community of support. We believe in hopeful healing. We believe that with faith, there is always hope. Crime Survivors is there to help. We provide hopeful healing for survivors. If you would like to support this nonprofit organization or are in need of help, please contact Crime Survivors at 949-872-7895 or crimesurvivors@aol.com. or log on to www.crimesurvivors.org.
ForRadio.com.
Hello, everyone. It's Patricia with Coffee Talk with Patricia, and we are back, and we are talking live with Brad Olson today, and we are just talking about food trust, and we're talking about life and career, community, and we are talking about faith. So for unfailing strength, do not look forward to what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you tomorrow and every day. Either he will shield you from suffering or he will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace, then. Put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations and say continually, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart has trusted in him and I am helped. He is not only with me, but in me, and I in him." So that is unfailing strength. And as you know, I love to take a break and be able to come back with a prayer of strength and motivation. And Brad, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome back. And obviously we were talking about kind of a strong conversation about mental illness, about suicide, about evilness, and also about murder, which sometimes is very challenging and difficult to talk about. But and you can tell me at any point in time that you want to talk, but you really, you know, I think reached out to the listeners and being able to share and talk about that part of your life and yes, to talk about, you know, when someone does murder someone and then they take their own life, or, you know, and how do we work through the fact of, is it evil or mental illness? And, you know, in the times that we are today, there is so much mental illness. And I do believe there is so much evil as well, and pain and trauma, and families have to endure. And we can't get through. It's challenging to be able to say, how do you heal or how do you survive or how do you even find closure after murder? And I know many people feel that you cannot have closure and you cannot heal, but there are other families that do survive and heal and move on after murder, never forgetting their loved ones. How has your family getting through this now?
It's been easier knowing who God is in our relationship, you know, with him, each individually. You know, my wife has done way above than whatever I thought, you know, she would do, you know, from the day it actually happened and the, you know, the detective came to our home. And I mean, the weird thing about it is, I didn't tell you, Patricia, if you don't mind me backing up a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, when this all happened, you know, I was at home. My wife had just left to go to work, and she was driving over one of the freeways over the riverbed, and she saw, you know, police down there. And we have not heard, we had not heard from her brother-in-law for, you know, a few days and stuff, you know. And I know he had, you know, been around that area, or goes around that, you know, riverbed area and stuff like that. And she drove right over the scene, not knowing that, not knowing anything. And then when she got to the office, she called her her mom, and she hadn't heard from him. And so my wife, you know, calls me and says, "Hey, you know, can you go over there and see what's going on?" So I drove over there and talked to the detectives, and you know, and asked them what was going on, and they kind of told me, and then I gave a description, and you know, the detective came back to me and said, "Yes, I think, you know, what you described is possibly." So my heart just dropped. You know, I just, like, I don't know what this, you know, what do I do at that point? How do I tell my wife that it's possibly going to be your brother, you know, and stuff like that? And and so I went back home and didn't know what to do, you know. And when she called me, I said, "I don't know." I couldn't tell her. I just said, "I don't know. They're supposed to find out and let us know." And but I told her, I said, "You know, I think maybe it might be, and I think maybe your mom needs to come over here, you know, just in case, instead of being where she's at, you know, at her home by herself." So mm-hmm. she came over, and then the detective came and confirmed everything and stuff like that. And it hit hard, you know. It was really hard that day when it was confirmed. And, you know, and it's so weird, you know, because you wake up, you know, and you're just going to go to work, do your own thing, and what you don't normally do, and have no idea, you know, what's coming your way and stuff. And that's why I think it's so important to stay prayed up, stay close to God, and not just through, you know, hard times, but through good times. Because when those hard times come, you know, if you didn't practice that in the good times, how are you going to know how to do it in the bad times or the tough times?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you haven't built on that rock through the good times, and the trial comes, you're not going to know how to do it, because everything was so easy to you. So now things are hard. How do you do it? How do you, how do you know what to do and how to do it and stuff like that? And through this whole situation, it has brought us closer in our relationship with Christ, and, you know, who he is. And he does love us, even though, you know, the afflictions, you know, are of the righteous. I mean, they happen to the good, and they happen to the, to everybody, good or bad, whatever you want to, you know, say. But the stuff's going to happen. That's how life is.
Sure.
But we are followers of the Lord, and he is our strength. He's our high tower. He's our everything. And I have found him to be my everything through this stuff, you know, and through other situations, financial situations, you know, things like that, you know, and stuff that we've had to deal with in the process of all this. You know, it's like a mountain. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, like that. But you know what? My God is bigger than any mountain. You know,
amen to that.
Bigger
amen,
than any
definitely.
Situation.
Yeah, amen to that. And it's, you know, I've always wondered, and I've always said, and I've talked about it on the show, you know, I'm not trying to push my faith upon anyone. And whatever your faith is, and whatever your belief in is, and whatever your religion is, that's your choice. But I've always really wondered and had a challenging time trying to understand how is it, especially during tragedies or traumas or life circumstances, whatever that may be, how do people walk in that without faith, without the Lord, without God? And I don't know, because I know in my own personal life and the things that I've endured throughout my life, not only the negative and the bad or the traumas and the tragedies, but also the good times. Like, I don't know how I would get through it without my faith and without God.
Yeah, I totally support that. I don't know either. I don't know how I would do it. I don't know how my family would do it. You know, we would go to church on Sundays, you know, as, you know, everybody does. But, you know, through this whole process, you know, we had people praying for us, our pastor, everybody knew about it. But just through the course of these last couple of years, you know, God has really healed us. And, you know, it was pretty much last month, you know, after he had committed suicide and all that stuff. You know, the DA had called us up, and all the families met the lady from the district attorney in Santa Ana. We all met in office there at her office and just went over things, you know, just finalizing things. And, you know, she wanted to know how we felt about it, and we kind of had like a little, you know, counseling session. Everybody kind of said, you know, what they wanted to say. But everybody was okay with it because we just didn't want to be drawn into, you know, a trial, which would have started in probably November of this year and would have gone on for who knows how long. And all the stuff in the trash and all that other stuff they would bring up. Of course, his parents would be there. It would be dramatic and traumatic. And you know what? I'm glad it's over. I'm glad we don't have to go through that. And I thank God, you know, nothing passes through God's hand without him knowing about it. So, you know, he's in control of everything. And I think he looked at us and said, you know, maybe he didn't want us to have to go through that. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm glad that we don't have to. I'm glad that it's over. I know my brother-in-law is in heaven. I know he's with the Lord.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. If you could share something about your brother-in-law, something that our listeners could really know about him, and what is it that would be his legacy, not so much his murderer's death and the person that killed him and his evilness and his mental illness and his suicide and all of that, because we all know that happened and that is real. But let's focus, and I always try to say, as hard as it is to work through all of that, and it does take a lot of time, and it does take a hard choice, but if we could figure out a way to help you and your family, and I could figure out a way to keep your brother-in-law's legacy alive, and who was he, and what is it that he would represent in the goodness of his heart and soul, what would that be that you could share?
Well, he was a pretty big guy. He was like 6'5", almost, I don't know, 280, 300, something like that, you know, and he was pretty much a gentle giant. He was like a kid at heart. You know, he was a big, big guy, but he was still like a kid, you know, like a just, you know, big kid. And he was the youngest, you know, in the family and stuff. You know, he had his two older sisters. But, you know, he loved life. He loved sports. He loved, hearing about my son, you know, playing sports and stuff like that. He'd call all the time and, you know, what'd you do today? How'd it go? You know, he played, you know, when he played Little League and soccer, you know, did you hit the ball? Did you score a run? You know, he was always involved, wanting to know how, you know, my youngest son was doing and stuff like that, and always, you know, applauding them and cheering them on and stuff like that. You know, he was always into, he loved NASCAR, you know, racing and stuff like that. And so on Sundays, he'd call me up after church and, hey, you watching the race? What do you think about this? And we'd go back and forth, you know, with the drivers and, you know, this and that, and share all that kind of stuff. Or if there's a football game, you know, we talk about, you know, the football teams and, you know, and things like that. So, you know, just guy stuff, you know. And him and I really got along really well and stuff. And we shared a lot of, you know, sport things that interested him and I. And that's where he was, you know, that's where his interests were and stuff. So we'd share that kind of stuff. And, you know, God gave him to us for, you know, a season, you know, time or whatever. And, you know, for whatever the reason that he's with the Lord now, it's okay. Cause we know where he's at. We know that, you know, he was saved, and we just know that he's in a awesome place. And, so
and can you share
just
his
be a loving,
can you,
loving person?
Would you be willing to share his name with our listeners, and just so that we could take a moment to pray and reflect and lift him up?
Yeah, his name was Jimmy Nidal.
Okay. So at this time, Lord, we want to take a moment to say to Jimmy that your legacy will continue forever in the hearts and souls of all of our listeners and in this world today, and that your life was ended and taken too soon, but that you will be never forgotten, and that you are in our hearts and souls, and that we love you, and that your family misses you each and every day. Your mother mourns your loss and keeps you in her heart and soul each and every day, and your family is an amazing, amazing blessed family, and we want you to know that you are never forgotten, and that the Lord is
taking away all your pain and here to heal your family and to strengthen and to be with you. And so we want to remember Jimmy. We want to keep his legacy alive forever. And we want him to know that he was loved and will always be loved. So we just wanted to take that time to share that. And I really do thank you, Brad, for taking the time to share that with our listeners and so that they do know and that they will remember and that they can keep him as well as you and your family in their thoughts and prayers to keep his memory and his legacy alive forever.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
And,
yeah.
And so let me ask you also, what is it as a man, you know, we have about 8 minutes left on today's show, and as a man and you do your food trucks and you have your beautiful wife and your family and your children and you have all of this going on, what is it that you do as Brad to take time for yourself as a man, whether it be in the community, whether you do something that's fun is exercise-wise or a sport or something? Or do you? Some of the people that I've had on said that they don't take time. So,
well, I spend a lot of time, you know, going to, you know, we're really active in our church. My wife's a Sunday school teacher, and I'm also a teacher in our church. So, you know, we have that going on. And we go to church, you know, like three times a week, sometimes four times a week if there's missionette, Royal Rangers, things like that. So we really get involved, you know, with the kids, and my wife is with that and everything. And, you know, we live in Anaheim, but our church is in Bellflower. You know, it's 17 to 20 miles, and people will go, wow, you drive so far. You know what I say when I come back with them on that response? I go, well, how far did Jesus go for you?
Oh, that is a good one.
You know, 20 miles, God gives me a car, God gives me gas, God gives me an awesome church. In 20 miles, how far will you go for Jesus? And see, me, I'm sold out. To me, I'm committed to doing whatever the Lord would want me to do. And I know where I used to be 17 years ago before we started coming to church or back to church and found this church. You know, we weren't serving God. We weren't doing anything. We're in the world just doing whatever we wanted to do. But when I look back to see what God has done in my life and in my wife and in my family and everything, by golly, you betcha, I'm driving 20 miles to go to church because, you know, you only go to a doctor when you're sick. You only go to a hospital when you're wounded, need surgery, or whatever the case may be. And let me tell you, our church, and I don't know about everybody, our church is a hospital. There's a lot of hurting people. Spiritually, physically, whatever the case may be, emotionally. And all I could do is tell you is when I walk into the ER of my church, my God meets me.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's, I don't know if your church is open to this, but, you know, I've been doing kind of some research lately because I really would like to get out to churches and speak and present on never giving up and never quitting, not only just with crime-related things or survivors or anything, but just life in general. I really feel like that's a calling for me, that I want to be able to travel through churches to share my survival and my message of healing and hope. And it's interesting, and I don't know, and you can even maybe ask your church, but I do feel that there are so many people hurting in the church and that do have the Lord in their hearts and souls. But I also see that a lot of churches, unfortunately, don't want outsiders coming in to share that hopeful healing message. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But I do wish that they would be more open for that, because I think that it would, not only is the Lord healing us all, but I think that we all have a gift to be able to get out there and share the message of hope.
Yeah, it would all go through, you know, my pastor and everything. What I would, you know, have you do is invite you to, you know, a Sunday morning service so you can, you know, see the service, you know, and everything else. And then after, you know, the service and stuff, introduce you, you know, to him and stuff like that, and just kind of take it from there and everything. But, you know, we have missionaries come there. We've had, you know, a lot of things. It's just that, you know, everything goes, of course, you know, through the pastor being the head of the church there, you know, the shepherd. And so, but I think I would think it'd be, you know, an awesome thing, but I am not one to, you know, say, you know, to do it, but I would say, you're welcome to come to our church whenever you want to, you know, and, you know, meet my family there and stuff like that and sit with us and worship and praise God through the whole thing and, you know, hear the sermon, and then I can introduce you to him, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of do it like that and everything. But
so you take time for your church, you take time for the Lord.
Right.
Do you have a hobby? Do you have something that, you know, just is time for you? I mean, I know family and friends and faith are a huge part of, you know, all of our lives, but.
Yeah, there's not really much going on. Usually in the summertime, you know, I love to fish. My family, you know, we love to go to Bishop, Mammoth. We fish the lakes up there and stuff like that. In the summer, we haven't been up there in the last few years, though. You know, it takes money to, you know, do that. And, you know, with the economy, the way things have been kind of a thing and everything else, we've just been kind of watching, you know, a little bit of our finances. But, you know, we've done the Bishop Mammoth thing. That was a thing that my dad, before he passed away a few years ago and stuff like that, he started doing that. We started going up with him and my mom up to Bishop every summer and spend, you know, 4 days up there and just fish our hearts out. I mean, fish, you know, cooking the fish, eating the fish, just a family thing, just an awesome time. And, you know, and you know, my other kids were, you know, young and, you know, they live with their mother back east and stuff. And then in the summer when I had visitation, I would fly them out here. And then, of course, we'd head up to Bishop Mammoth and spend those days with them and stuff like that. And, you know, I'll tell you, just those memories of doing that kind of stuff. I talk to my kids now and they just remember, you know, their papa and remember, you know, just fishing and catching the fish, some of the memories and, you know, things like that that they never forget and everything. And, you know, when now they're grown up and don't get to see them that much. And when they do come out, we try to, you know, make our way up there. If not, we go, you know, to the beach in the summertime. We have boogie boards all over the place and we load up the boogie boards, a canopy and all that stuff, head out to usually Seal Beach down by the pier
nice.
In the summertime. And yes, I am, I'm 53 and I do ride a boogie board. Let everybody know I do ride a boogie board. We call them a sponge. I'm not a surfer, but I'm a boogie board enthusiast. I do ride the waves. Yeah, I get out there with the young kids and they look and they go, you gotta be kidding me. You know, what's Gramps doing out here? But, well, when I show them what I'm made of and stuff, you know, most of the young kids will go, how long you been doing this? You're really good. And, you know, and I'll say, oh, I've been out here, you know, for a long time. And, you know, actually I only started really riding the boogie board probably, you know, a couple years ago. Before that, I really didn't want to go into the water and stuff like that, you know, because it's, you know, cold and this and that. Just wasn't interested. And one day I just decided I'm going out there with my son. I'm not going to let my son ride these waves by himself. And I'm sitting there watching him. I just felt like, you know, I need to be in the water with him, sharing this excitement and stuff. So I started doing it. And for long, I was out there all the time. And I'd get out there when he goes, and I'm out there, you know, 3 hours straight. And he will get out of that water and leave me out there by myself. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, he goes, it's getting cold. And I go, cold? You know, but I would ride those waves. And it just, you know, that's really, you know, in the way of having a hobby, it's more like an outdoor, you know, activity kind of thing, because we're really family-oriented.
Right.
You know, we'll go, my wife and my son and I, it's just us, you know, three here. And so we normally go to Friday or Saturday night. We might hit up a movie or something like that and, you know,
good.
Just do a movie together and dinner, you know, before a movie kind of a thing. But that's usually our one-week adventure that we do. And then summertime, it's going to the beach as much as you can and stuff like that and enjoying all that good stuff, you know.
Well, it sounds to me like you are keeping your balancing and your boundaries and that you're really, truly reflecting and loving not only the Lord, but loving your life. And, you know, we are all imperfect, but yet to the Lord, we are perfect and we are validated by Him. And so I can't thank you enough for taking this hour to be on Coffee Talk with Patricia. And it's been an honor and privilege to be able to get to know you better and get to know your family better. And you know, through these, I wish it was under different circumstances. But if there's anything, myself personally, that Coffee Talk with Patricia or anything can do to help you or crime survivors can continue to help with your family and things that you are walking and healing in your life, please don't hesitate to let us know. And so I just wanted to be able to say thank you for being on Coffee Talk with Patricia. And to be able to send a hug out there to people today, I just posted on posts on Facebook, give a hug today. Hugging has no unpleasant side effects and is all natural. There are no batteries to replace. It's inflation-proof and non-fattening with no monthly payments. It's non-taxable, non-polluting, and is, of course, fully refundable. Here's a hug from me to you, to all of our listeners. I'm sending a big squeeze tight hug. And again, Brad, thank you for being on Coffee Talk with Patricia today, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing you all next week.
Thanks, Patricia.
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sister Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.